I think we're live, guys. We are now officially in the Bobcast.
Yes.
With Dylan Walsh.
Thanks for having me, man.
Dude, we are so excited to have you because, man, you're one of the greatest songwriters and singers that I know right now. You're at the top, man.
It's been a while since I've been complimented, so.
You haven't played in Nashville in a little while, or
not in a little while. The last time I played was actually last two times I played. Two out of three times I played were with you, actually. Stuart, TN, Hearts, and Critters Ranch, and Muddy Roots. I did do one in between in Chattanooga at the Cherry Tavern. It was my first time out there playing out in Chattanooga. We love Chattanooga, but I never played out there, but we gave it a whirl. Muddy Roots was a lot of fun. Cherry Tavern, I'd like to go back and do a better job. But Hearts and Critters is always a good time.
Yeah, that's a fun one. So did I meet you in Europe first?
Yeah.
Because we've known each other for quite a long time. I remember seeing you, I think, in Europe, right?
2013 in Waardam in Belgium at Muddy Roots Europe. Would have been the first time that we were at least in each other's circle, you know?
Yeah. That was a while ago. So that was like almost 10 years ago.
It is 10 years ago, yeah. I was hoping to go back to Europe this year for a kind of do a 10-year anniversary. But the last two times I've tried to book tours in Europe, they fell through, so kind of took the wind out of the sails. But that 2013 was pretty lively.
Oh, that show? Oh, yeah.
Everything, there was a lot
going on. I don't
know
if we can talk about the drama of the night, but that's the...
bullshit.
We won't mention names, but I stormed the stage like WWF. I got kicked out of Muddy Roots.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on that year, yeah.
We were rowdier back then.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
As they're settling down in your old age.
Yeah. Huh?
It almost felt like it was encouraged back then. You know?
Yeah.
I think, too, Muddy Roots had been coming onto the radar of a lot of people over that way. And that year in particular, it just everybody kind of honed in on it and arrived at the same place at the same time to see what it was going to be like. And it was just like, it was like flicking through the pages of a cartoon comic book, you know. There's all these characters everywhere. And it was just, it was fairly wild.
Yeah, it is wild, man.
I just remember being told to drink beer because that's how you make money, you know. As if we need any encouragement back then.
Oh, drink beer, that's how they make money? Yeah,
so, oh, okay.
Please drink us out of beer. Please help us.
Yeah, yeah.
Nikki.
Oh, yeah, Nikki's great, man. I'm going to be at Muddy Roots this year again, both of them, America and Europe.
Oh, cool.
You do, this is your main job, is just playing music.
Yeah.
And you go out there and you got to get money and then...
Yeah. I mean, there were times when I was being pretty hardcore. I just, you know, I would go on. I mean, one time I'm preaching to the choir here because you probably tour more than most people, but I did. Like, I would do 2 months in Europe without a day off and then jump back over here and go on as a support act to a bigger band or whatever, you know.
Just, yeah.
It would feel
that's
like
good,
it,
though.
It would never end. There was at one point we had an RV. We traveled the RV. I think we hit like, I don't know, must have been 40 states in like 2 years, multiple times, you know.
Wow.
Europe was a little easier for me because I could be a bit more independent. I could just hop on buses and, you know, I was getting to know people. Everything was fresh. When I came over here, it was a little harder because I didn't have a driver's license, so... Had to work that one out, which was tricky.
Yeah.
But I've got one now, so I think that's going to probably lead me to tour more.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Took a while. But the first time I actually learned to drive, it didn't go so well.
Really?
Yeah. I rolled off the car when I was learning, and that's what put me off for a few years, you know.
Oh, you rolled the car while you were learning?
Oh, yeah.
Man. Oh, shit.
No, I wrote it off. That's a soft T. Wrote.
You wrote.
You know, you
wrote
ride a car off. Right.
Oh, yeah. You wrecked the car.
I fucked the car up.
Oh.
There we go. That translates. Yeah.
Got you. You crashed.
We got soft.
I thought I heard rolled. Like yeah, you rolled me too. It. I've rolled a couple cars.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard rolled too.
Yeah, that wasn't fun, but you know, I'm driving now. And we're out in North Carolina on Black Mountain now, so I'm driving around the mountains and hiking and that's just getting good. The feel for things again, you know.
Cool, man. I had a friend once used to roll his truck for fun. I don't know why I just thought of that.
Oh, why doesn't that surprise
me? He used to do
me?
It fun. He had roll bars and he'd just roll his truck. It was so smashed too. It just looked like this driving smash. It was just totally smashed, but he could roll his truck. It was a pickup truck. It
doesn't surprise me that you know these people.
Yeah, my cousin Travis. And he would... He was
of course
the guy,
it's a cousin
he's
Travis.
Related, he's
too.
Related, yeah.
And he would... The last time I saw Travis, this is the guy, he'd be drinking beer. He drank beer all the time. But one night we were around the fireplace or the fire pit, and he was passed out. He'd been passed out for like 2 hours. And I'll never forget, he was passed out with his beer in his hand, and he just goes, he woke up out of nowhere and kind of looked around and chugged his beer. And then he just goes, over. And then he passed out. Said over. He said over after everything. Like if you were just having a conversation, he'd be like, yeah, man, I fucking love beer. Over. And then say over just when you were talking to him. I was like, okay, my turn. Over.
like a truck driving habit.
Yeah, it was a habit. Uh-huh. He was like, yeah, man, I fucking love that song. Over. I'm going
to
start doing that.
You have
that.
To say Roger.
I got to start doing that. I'm just going to take that and just be like, yeah, man. But especially when I meet new people. Oh, dude, nice meeting you. Over.
Oh. It's 10-4.
10-4. Over. After a song's done. Over.
See how quickly other people just start doing it.
Yeah, let's try and make it a thing. Over.
Maybe sounds good. Over.
Well, talking about singing and songwriting and stuff, are you down to play a few songs?
Yeah, I haven't sung out since last time I seen you, which was what, early November.
That's the last time you played?
Mm-hmm. Last time I sang a song or whatever, you know.
So when we're doing this one, make sure you turn and kind of hit that guy. Oh, you are a lefty.
Kind of. You said I was crazy, bordering on sin. Call me old-fashioned, but I just can't give in. My broken teeth, they hiss. My swollen tongue, it slurs. But I walk in shame, my heart's as good as yours. Since you were the brave one, do what needs to be done. But lately, you can always run. Once the seat was heavy, and all that we concealed, relief was light, and all that we revealed. But now you're not so sure, you're gonna have to rethink the deal. Lately, remind me what is real. Thank you.
for the hill of light. There's an altar and a tomb on the diamonds and pride with the new moon. Come lay down by the window. Don't speak too soon, at least until the sun comes in through the room. It's Lady Lee. Oh,
that was great.
Yeah, we've been living out in the Black Mountain there, just taking a break, essentially. It was overdue. It really was. It was overdue for us. If we could have, we would have taken one earlier, but it worked out the way it's worked out. So, but I think we're starting to infiltrate society again, aren't we?
Yeah.
this is yeah. Probably the most socializing that I've done in 2.5 months.
Dylan's wife is back there. We should have, if I had another headphone and a mic, I was thinking about we should have had her on here too.
Yeah.
Soon. I'm building up. We but we all, anyways, for those of you listening and watching, that's Dylan's wife in the green room back there.
Lady Lee. Yeah, Kristen was going backwards and forwards a little bit. You know, we still got things to do down here, and she went to see family and stuff. But I've literally been up there.
You're loving it.
Yeah, I barely see anybody.
Yeah, that's why I like Alabama. I live out in the middle of nowhere, so I get to go. If I go out there, it's totally hermit. Mm-hmm. I'm in hermit mode, which I don't mind. I can thrive in hermit mode with nobody, just alone, instruments, microphones.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping to get back writing a bit more, but I had a couple of audio projects of my own that I was finishing off. Not music, just kind of chat stuff. I did my own, I guess it's an interview series, but it was...
I saw the... you just released one, right?
Yeah, it was a little bit more... I don't know, thrown together, should we say.
It looked good, though.
It worked out fine. It was a little, my format was a little limiting, but other than that, it served the purpose and I felt good doing it. And but I think it's run its course now, you know. I used to call up 80-plus-year-olds on their sons or a nephew's laptop and have a chat with them, and then I would chop the audio up and reconstruct the show by mixing in their music and stuff, you know.
Wow.
Which was a little limiting in terms of the quality of the audio. But if I didn't do it that way, it wouldn't exist, you know. So it was, you know, I've got Ramblin' Jack Elliott, who's 92, who just got a camera phone during the pandemic. So he was the start of it. And then I had the last surviving member of an Irish folk group called the Dubliners.
The Dubliners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. The last surviving member. He wasn't an original member, but the band started in 62 and he joined in 64, which is the classic lineup. So he's the last surviving member of the classic lineup. Have to get that right because people will hang me back at home. Mm. But he's John Sheehan. He's 82 now. He released his first debut album at the age of 80.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And a book of poetry, and caught up with him. And then there's another guy I talked to. In, where was he? Norfolk, up on the northeast coast of England. Steve Ignorant of a band at the time that he's most well known for would be Crass. You know Crass?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the band he's in now is Steve Ignorant and the Slice of Life.
Okay.
He does a few different things. I chatted to him too. Put another show together with him. So there's like 4 episodes, 3 different people. I've got a few more on the computer that aren't going to be as biographical. They're going to be topic based. So there's a tune in Irish music when I come over here. I heard it quite often. It's called Dadgad. You know Dadgad? Well, you're a guitar tech, right?
I was a guitar tech, but I'm not like the greatest.
Well,
I can like, I'm a good rock and roll guitar tech. I can set the shit up, set up the chords, get some sounds. But if it like shit starts catching on fire, I can't like take it apart. You know,
Well, I don't know. Some of the tours you would have been on would have been fairly chaotic. So if you got your job done amongst that, I think you're probably good at it.
Especially with Hank 3, because he would have the metal set and the hillbilly set. So it was like three bands, really. You know what I mean? But what were you saying? Because I would relate to it.
There's a tuning called Dadgad. So it's D-A-D-G-A-D, the six strings on a guitar. And when I come over here, and also I lived in London for nearly 10 years, so I go to the Irish traditional song sessions, and I would always want to join in or play. And I'd watch the guitarist, and he was always in a different tuning than me, so I didn't learn shit, you know what I mean? So I was always wondering where this tuning came from, and I came over here, and I seen it even more, so I basically went back looking to where it came from.
The tuning?
So you got... E-A-D-G-B-E for not the guitar tech. This is for you. If you tune them to Dadgad, D-A-D-G-A-D, it's a tuning that basically creates a drone sound, so it matches a lot of the Irish instruments, and it became connected to Irish music. So it's called, some people will call it a Celtic tuning now.
And now you're not going to, are you going to play it?
No. I'd have to... we'd have to get one of those good players.
Okay.
But you hear it a lot. It's basically a lot of Irish players use it now, but I was looking to where it came from. It's widely known enough amongst musicians, but I definitely found out some stuff that doesn't seem like it's widely known. But basically there's a guitarist in England called Davy Graham. He's not around anymore. But he went to Morocco and he done a lot of drugs. And he played. He tried to play along with an oud player, which is like an old kind of lute kind of thing, you know. And he ended up detuning his guitar to this tune, and he brought it back to England. Everybody copied off him, made its way to Ireland, and now it's Irish tuning. That's what happened.
Oh wow!
Nice.
It was created in Morocco.
Yeah. Well, as legend would have it, but it seems pretty. It seems very probable.
Yeah. Mm. Wow! I love that.
And it's like there's a lot of tunings in music, you know. The closest thing to it probably would have been maybe banjo tuning in old time music.
Okay.
I can't think offhand what that was. I think it might have been G-D-A-G-G-D-G-B-D. That's one of the tunings. There's a tuning that basically incorporates Dadgad. I can't think of offhand. I'd have to look at it.
I can't say what my what do you call it? An anagram? Is that it with the G? Like,
yeah, when you mix letters around.
Or you say a word so you remember the...
Oh, okay.
I can't say mine out loud. It's G... D, G, B, D, and I made it up, so no one. I would remember.
I'm trying to hear what he's actually saying.
I know.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay, we're not going to talk.
My
about
truck
it.
Rolled with my cousin.
Goddamn cousin. I don't know.
Yeah, let's see. What do you think it would be? It would be, if you had to guess what mine was. It was G, D. G B D G D. That's, is that too many?
God damn. Good. What's next?
G. God.
God. Bitch.
God damn bitch. Damn. Bro.
Bro.
That was it.
Yeah,
I don't know how you guessed that. Huh? I don't know how you guessed that.
But that's one of the differences too. I guess the Americanized banjo is five string.
Ah, that was four for you guys, right?
Four for Irish music, a tenor banjo, yeah. Because, you know, American banjo is more rhythmical. Well, there's no rules, but you know what I mean. Stylistically speaking, as a general kind of feel. It's more of a rhythmical pluck, whereas a tenor banjo is more like, you know, that kind of thing, you know. But yeah, there's a tune in old time music for the banjo that incorporates Dadgad, and also Pete Seeger had a a well-known hit, but can't think of the title. I'm missing the country or moving to the country or something like that. He had Drop D, and that was a hit in the radio, which influenced all the folk singers at that time. And then there was people like Elizabeth Cotton who used open tunings, who actually the Irish musicians were listening to in the 60s. So it all culminated in that gad. A lot of people think this Irish stuff is very old, and it just isn't. The guitar itself sure is not even that old, you know. So,
you know,
in,
I was
in this form.
In that form. Yeah, you were talking about the tunings in the old-timey one, and I remember, I don't know why, it just reminded me of this thing I was watching, these, like, Tibetan monks, and they were, like, talking about where, and it sounded like they were playing bluegrass. It really did. It sounded like they were playing bluegrass, and it was like, whoa. And they were interviewing these old Tibetan monks, and they were playing like this really old music, like thousands of years ago music or some shit, and it sounded like bluegrass. And then they said that, when they said, where did you get this sound, like, this is a sound from the forest. And they were like saying that it was like the sound of the forest. And then there was an interview with Bill Monroe, who basically started bluegrass. He's one of them. He said in the interview, when someone was asking him, you know, where'd you come up with this music? And he's like, it was from the trees. It's what the,
oh wow,
the tree. And so it was really weird to me to think like that the Tibetan monks had these, like, and it sounded like, and they said, oh, it's just the sound of the forest. And then Bill Monroe had said that about, kind of weird, right? Well, and it sounds the same, like they're all trying to channel this thing, and it's coming out the, it's very similar sounding. So what is that all about?
Well, bluegrass again as a genre is pretty modern, right? And Bill Monroe again,
is it?
Well, as it's
maybe it's been here forever.
Well, everything's been here forever, though, right? It's like that's one of the arguments with dadgad with the guitar. It's like nobody invented dadgad for the guitar. It's always been around, but somebody still did it. You know what I mean?
And yeah,
it's like, you can never know who was the first.
Right, someone did do it.
But in terms of being the most influential and who helped it find its way into music through recordings and documented stuff, there is a guy, you know what I mean?
Wow, that's cool.
But it's like with Bill Monroe too, again, Scots-Irish kind of history there too, you know? But in bluegrass as a formed genre of being a defined moment in time, where here's the bluegrass boys, you know? That is pretty modern.
My guess would be early 40s if I had to guess. Because if you think about the 20s music, it was kind of like that big bandy, you know,
the jazz, like, with the,
you know, and then the 30s was the depression and stuff. So it was, but yeah, I think if I had to guess, I'm going to get, and it's, I like the no Google thing on the show. We can still make shit up.
That's the issue. I take a lot of stuff in, but I don't retain it too well.
Yeah, but I like just fucking around, like being like, yeah, bluegrass actually started 6,000 BC in China. Okay, so those of you, we've traced it to ancient Chinese backgrounds from the forest there.
It's hard to put things into words because, you know, once you say something, it can be easily torn apart or looked into the details.
Yeah.
But most of those formats in folk music were between, you know, I would say most of them are in the 60s, but obviously, you know, 40s is probably where it kind of, I guess, was
popularized.
Brought to the stages and got everybody started to hear it through radio or whatever, you know. But in the 60s, is a lot of Irish people, how people would hear Irish music now was actually just created in the 60s, you know. It's not that old, a lot of the stuff. It predates the 60s, of course, but not used in that way, you know.
That's cool.
Talk about that stuff, but I'll say something wrong and be hung online here.
It's okay. With the comments, we'll let them Google it and tear it apart.
Yeah.
Well, you know, American people love the Bowron, you know, the Irish drum.
The Irish drum.
Big skin drum.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
So that was a pagan instrument. which was actually banned by Ireland. So it wasn't it wasn't in music that long, you know, like in modern times, you know. It was reintroduced. It's probably a better way of saying it, you know.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
You gonna play one more, another one for us?
Yeah, sure.
I was trying to think of the song, and I should have looked it up last night. But we went out partying last night. Oh, you got one. You're gonna do. He's got the harmonica.
Yeah, I'll put this on it and see what happens. I've got a lot of gadgets on me here. I should talk into the microphone.
Or now, when you do that, you got that ribbon up there is where you're gonna be switching to.
I should do this step by step. I don't normally play into headphones, but it felt okay the first time.
It sounds good, too.
It's going to be stuck on my strap. Throw it down there. Should be okay. Turning this hour podcast into a two-hour podcast.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there's no time limit, man. That's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. We can go as long as we want.
But you incorporate bluegrass music in your music, right?
There's a lot of bluegrass edge in there. I think that's just from having Andy Gibson on all my records, because he's really good at that that style too. But yeah, it does have a lot of bluegrassy vibes to it.
Want me to give it a shot?
Yeah. Let's do it. Dylan Walsh, everybody.
Taking us to end, it does good and bad. Not been dwelling on every talk you might have had. You left us turn a good man bad. I've said too much. Not enough. I wondered if the words would sound better in a letter, written to be read by you. Cold as me, sit and reach for her. She tried to be clever and just took my temperature. said my love was a murderer. But my heart was a hollow grave, begging to bury her. But don't be hard, babe. Cause you've ruined, and you've been rude. It's not to say it won't go our way. Singer-songwriter type song.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I've got a new song. I'd be curious to think what you think of just the title. It's called "She Cut the Brake Lines to My Truck."
Lori.
Oh, yeah, my Lori. There you go. Is that good?
That's why we can't co-write.
This next song's called "She Cut the Brake Lines to My Truck."
To my Lori.
To my Lori. She cut the brake lines to my lorry. Put down the knife, babe, I'm sorry. See?
There we go.
There's some content.
What about your new song? Anyway, sorry, I was rambling.
What's that?
What were you going
to
say about
your new song? Oh, nothing. I was just kidding. I was just like trying to think like, oh, man. Yeah, the content of your songs are important. Those are my favorite songs. Ones that I can relate to, obviously. I think everybody is like that, but
and I hate to say it, I go out of my way to find new things and be involved and make the effort, but still those older generation songwriters, they still hit different, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, not always, but a lot of the time.
Yeah, but then there's like guys like you and then Willie T. Taylor.
Willie is an exception.
And well, there's a lot of a lot of them, and
yeah,
there's just
a lot of great ones.
Yeah,
Willie in particular, he is one of the best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's loads of younger ones upcoming.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, like I do make the effort to see what's out there. I go out of my way often, always. You have to, don't you? I mean, how shit would life be if you were just stuck listening to older music, you know?
Yeah, it's rare, like on tour, that we run into a band that's good, but it does happen. Mm-hmm. What was I gonna say? This will be one of those parts where I have to edit it out. But it's okay.
I felt like when the first part I was sheepish, and now that we got up and sat back down, I can't shut up.
No, it's good.
No, it's great.
What was I going to say, though? I was talking, what were you talking
a band,
about?
A great band that you came across on the road? That's what you were talking about.
Well, yes. Oh, no, we were talking about, yeah, some, like, I was trying to think of someone, like new people right now. Oh, that's another reason why we wanted to start this podcast, is to, like, showcase all of that. Like, find, like we heard about, who did Willie T. Taylor introduced me to some other musicians that I hadn't heard of.
Willie's one of those guys too. He keeps his ear to the ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he really, like, you're in a pub with 50 people there and he's the one who's listening. And he'll remember your lyrics and talk to you about them when you're done, even if even if it's just in the background. He's one of those guys, you know.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, all right, guys. I think that's going to wrap it up for the free version. There's two versions.
Oh, yes.
So the podcast, the first two songs, it's going to go out into the world, like, to Apple Podcasts and wherever that people listen to podcasts. But from here on out, the rest of the episode and the third song is for Patreon members only. So we're going to say thank you to the free listeners, those of you that want to come over and support the Patreon for the Bobcast. And go ahead over there, and then you'll be able to hear the rest of the podcast over there. Peace. All right, Possum Club members. This is where shit gets real. The free people are gone now.
That's, you could it right there.
Yeah.